Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jordana and Paul, Dan Cook at the helm, thank you for spending some time with us today. The Mohamed Noor trial. We wish we could have a reporter in there every day to follow it for you. Yesterday, we found out that Justine Damon's fingerprints were not found on the police squad. And that was an important part of the prosecution and the defense of the defense, because the defense attorneys were saying, well, Justine slammed the car and it freaked out the drivers, claiming they were terrified. I'm using my radio air quotes, saying they were terrified at the sound. And that's why they shot the woman in her pajamas who called 911, because she was afraid someone was being assaulted in her alley. With more on this, Marsh Hallberg is a criminal defense attorney. He's been on with us before. He has been following this case very, very closely. Marsh, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Marsh.
You bet.
Now, were you in court today?
I was. I got there but for half of today's testimony and half of yesterday's.
So give us an update. What were you hearing? What were you saying?
What stood out to you? What, if anything, made you do a double take as an attorney?
Well, the last day, actually, or so, plus, actually has kind of been not a big deal in that sense. Okay. I appreciate the state's really concerned about what we call a CSI effect. Juries always expect to see lots of science and cool stuff like they see on TV. And we spent the last day or two just talking about gun residue and some DNA things. And it, at the end of the day, it really isn't going to be as impressive as it might sound to be. Because it's just not conclusive is the short answer for a short question here on the radio. But where they found gun residue and why, it's easy to explain it in other locations or being transferred, or that it doesn't really tell you as much as you think it might, those kinds of things. So I think the last day, or if you had about a day or two of trial, it could have been the last day or two, because it's been more kind of fill in some things in case the jury's wondering, well, did they do this, do that? I think one thing that kind of jumped out at me a little bit was, I think it was yesterday, Agent Olson testified, one of the supervising BCA agents, so the state, not the Minneapolis police, who came out of the scene, you know, not that long after. And he talked about his frustration with what he felt was lack of information or coordination, by Minneapolis. So it kind of was feeding into this blue wall of silence kind of theory that the they haven't called it that yet, but that the state's kind of been planting through the whole case to try to explain maybe why there's some hostility or damning of faint praise by some officer's testimony, or why things didn't get done right away and had to be retested, those kinds of things. So it's kind of playing that theme for the state.
Does the jury seem, from what you can tell, engaged?
Yeah, a lot of note-taking, which is great. You know, they don't have to do that, but they do. So they seem very engaged. You know, I mean, when we saw that video last week of the body cam of Justine dying in front of the camera, basically, it was just the most heart-wrenching thing. And they were crying and clutching the purse of their notebook, trying to look away and fidget in place. And it was painful for some people who left the courtroom. It was very hard. So they're very engaged, I think.
Marsh, you mentioned the body cam video. I tell you, when I read this in the Star Tribune a few days ago, that Sergeant, I believe it was Shannon Barnett, she was in charge of the investigation, and she arrived on the scene, and she turned on, and please tell me if it's not her, if I have the wrong sergeant, but she turned her body cam on and off about three times as she was walking around that night, turned it off to go talk to Noor, turned it back on after she had spoken to him. Why is it ever okay to turn off your body camera during an investigation like this?
I think one thing that people don't see in place, again, you have to realize you've got a police union that's negotiating for what's, you know, their rules of employment. And it was permissible for them to turn off their body cams when they were talking to other officers. Now, I think that's appropriate. No, I think it certainly smacks of
a blue wall.
You know, are you trying to hide? Yeah, trying to hide something, or why can't you keep it on? If it's not, if it's harmless or boring, let us record it. So I think that doesn't play well. I think a fact came out this morning that was kind of surprising, is that when they interviewed Herity, the driver of the car, the police driver, that they did it at his defense attorney's house. And, you know, I've been doing this 40 years. I've never had that happen. I've certainly had officers, just for convenience, we've met at my office because it would be halfway point or whatever reason, but I've never had that. So, again, that smacks of kind of giving an impression, right or wrong, of preferential treatment.
Marsh, there was some testimony as to the effect that Justine Damon may have slapped the car. But to our knowledge, they've dusted for prints. There were smudges, but no actual prints that belonged to Justine, correct?
Correct. Yep. And I don't think that is going to be as important as you might think it might be, because you can explain away, you know, one, they have this little swab thing. They're not dusting or wiping the whole side of the car. You know, they're doing select areas. So,
right.
Number one, you could have missed it if it was there. But two, I mean, think of all of us. I think we've all walked up to the side of a car and knocked on the side of it or something to tell somebody you're there or whatever it might be. And, you know, you could use a knuckle. You could do something else. It doesn't mean you're going to have a fingerprint because of that.
More of a wrap.
That could happen.
More of a wrap.
More of a wrap. Exactly. Yeah, good way to put it. So I don't think that's going to – I think a lot of this is all noise, in the sense that I think at the end of the day, the most important evidence in this case hasn't happened yet, and that is I fully expect Officer Noor to testify. They've certainly teed it up that way, it seems. And, you know, there are a couple things in a case the lawyer gets to be the captain of the ship. He decides what witnesses to call, what order to call them, what questions to ask. But there are two things that a defendant always controls in a case. Is it a judge or jury trial? Do I testify or not? And so that is totally Noor's. Obviously, he's going to probably follow his attorney's recommendation. Job of, you know, they've been totally silent, as we know, no comments in the hallways, no interviews, no anything. And that kind of boxes the state up, because they're going to hear Norris, the nuances of his testimony, for the first and only time while they're in front of the jury. And so they have to scramble with their cross-examination to tweak it as they're kind of on the fly, so to speak, to try to score the points they want.
If you were representing him, would you make the same choice?
Yeah, I'd have him testify. I think the thing that I thought was kind of damning or kind of boxing him in more was, here are the, you know, I think it was a pretty sympathetic call by the state, again, the driver of the car, for the defense. A lot of his testimony really helped the defense. My first priority every night is to try to go home alive, and I worry about it every day, and anything can happen at any time, and I go into every single call worried about danger, and you know, all that stuff, I think, plays to the defense theory of ambush here. But in the redirect of him by the state, when they came back towards the end of his testimony, now, look, I'm paraphrasing here, everything else, but the question is, you know, why didn't you shoot? Why didn't you do it? Mm. Because I didn't perceive the threat at that level yet. I didn't see the gun, you know, that kind of thing. So now the question is, well, what is different now with the guy sitting 3 feet away from you, right? Why should he shoot and you don't? So I think that's important. You get lots of little pieces that don't smell that by themselves, but they'll get up in closing and connect the dots and say, here's 10 or 15 things, put them all together, almost like a jigsaw puzzle, and it's going to give you a picture of what happened here. You know, like the bicyclist, the young kid that testified, and he'd been three different stories, and he drank and was smoking dope. And so most of his testimony I don't care about, because it really doesn't affect anything. But what I thought was important was they said that they could recognize him coming down the street from about a third to a half a block away and know that it was a young male on a bicycle. So if you can tell that it's a young male on a bicycle from a half a block away, why can't you tell that a lady with a cell phone in her hand from, you know, 4 feet away, right?
Yeah. In her pajamas.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, so they're going to paint all those things, and it's little things. Like, we had a couple of witnesses talk about the homeless lady calls to the same set of officers, to Noren Harris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a few hours earlier, they were called the exact same neighborhood about a homeless lady wandering around, seemed to be lost, disoriented. So in the back of their minds, they should be thinking, state arguing, of course, they should be thinking, could this be the one of the callers that's in the alley? Could this be the victim of this crime that's possibly going on in the alley? Could this be this homeless lady that's in the alley? A screaming kid running around playing late at night on a warm summer night.
Yeah.
Kids in the neighborhood just being, you know, stupid, whatever. So, you know, all those little pieces are going to come together to give us, the government, a pretty strong argument.
Marsh, your cell phone's breaking up a little bit, but you did a great job setting the stage for us. I hope we can call on you again, sir.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marsh.
Marsh Hallberg is a criminal defense attorney, obviously following the Noor trial very, very closely, as are we.
Yeah, this case, every case, but especially this case, needs perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was there and can help us understand better what actually happened and what is important I think goes a long way. So thank you, Marsh.
The brothers accused of attacking Jesse Smollett are doing what? Find out next. Worst kept secret, and really the longest drawn out one, former Vice President Joe Biden will allegedly launch his long anticipated presidential campaign on Thursday. Some folks who are close to the source spoke with anonymity, said that he's going to announce his intentions in a video and hold a fundraiser Thursday evening in Philly. The first formal campaign event will be scheduled for Monday in Pittsburgh.
Indelicate question. Does he have a shot?
I do think he has a shot. Yes, I do. I mean, boy, have you been watching some of these town halls on CNN?
Yeah.
I dip in and out. It gets to be too much for me.
A little bit. They give me a headache.
But I do think he has a shot. I think Bernie's kicking himself in the tush with the crazy stuff he's saying.
What was the deal today? Convicted murderers should be allowed to vote?
The Boston bombers or some crazy stuff. Yeah. I don't know. We were on the air, so I'm not going to confirm or deny what he said today. But I think nobody's paying attention to Amy. I think
polling
Joe,
at about 2%.
Yeah, no one's listening. So I think Joe Biden has a shot. He certainly has the name recognition and the gravitas. So I think he's got a shot.
It's like everybody's grandfather.
Well, we're going to find out if he's going
to
be.
People may not like his politics, but a lot of people like Joe Biden, the person.
There might be some trust there. So that might, trust goes a long way.
Okay. Jor, when you think about it, when you drive downtown and you park your vehicle in a parking ramp, or even at home in the garage, 95% of the time, your vehicle is just sitting somewhere, not being used.
It is.
Kind of a waste.
A little bit.
Elon Musk has a vision for what you can do with your Tesla.
Okay. If you have to have a Tesla, though, right?
I think so. I'm not sure this works with any and all electric vehicles, but his vision, I think, is for a Tesla robotic army, 1 million Teslas that are self-driving.
So if I buy a Tesla, then I can farm it out while I'm at work all day.
The newer versions have the autopilot and the self-driving capability.
So I don't need – oh, the newer versions.
The newer versions that have the cameras. Mm-hmm. The new Model 3, I know, has 8 cameras on it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it will drive itself. But he needs approval.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think that's state-by-state approval. So we'll see. Never say never. But his vision is by the middle of next year, 1 million Teslas will be on the highways, fully capable of driving themselves. That's the pitch he gave to investors. Customers will be able to put their cars onto a shared network of robo-taxis. So think of this as Airbnb,
so cool.
But instead of renting out your house, you're renting out your vehicle. When you're not using it, it's part of this network. You're getting a commission. I would think there's going to be financial incentive.
But no one drives it. It's completely automated.
Completely automated.
It just picks up people.
Yep.
That is cool.
So we'll see if he can make that happen. A lot of people are doubting him, but he's proven the naysayers wrong before, so we shall see.
The two brothers who say Empire actor Jesse Smollett paid them to stage his assault have filed a suit against his attorneys and the whole team of attorneys, not against Jesse, but against Jesse's attorneys, including celebrity attorney Mark Garagos. They say that they have been defamed in this whole defense of Jesse Smollett. They were declared suspects and arrested by the Chicago police in February. The woman representing them, his lawyer, says her clients deserve to have their reputations restored. The statement from the brother reads like this. The lies are destroying our character and reputation. Anyone who knows us knows that we don't have hate. That's not who we are. We'll no longer sit back and allow these lies to continue. They had a health and wellness business that they were trying to start up because they were both super fit, maybe some kind of a training business. Hmm. And now they're saying there's lost revenue because that's what you have to prove. You have to prove some punitive damages. There's lost revenue because their names have been smeared in the public and nobody will do any business with them. And I don't know if they're going to have a case or not because the lawyers had to defend Jesse and whatever his claims were. But this is the problem with lying.
This is
you tell one lie, gets you into another lie.
It snowballs, yeah.
Tell another lie to make sure you defend that lie. Then you don't know where the lies are going. They're going around and around, and everything is a mess.
It's a bad soap opera.
It's a mess.
And isn't Chicago on the verge of suing Jussie Smollett for
$131,000? Yes, they are. Yes, absolutely.
For all the money that detectives put into this case. Are you counting on Social Security?
Most of us are.
An annual government report released today says that Social Security's trust funds will be tapped out by 2035. That doesn't mean that retirees will no longer get checks, but it does mean that Social Security may only have enough funds to pay people three-quarters of their benefits when they retire. Congress has been hesitant to address the issue because it would likely involve cutting benefits, raising payroll taxes, or both. What a mess. But again, what's ironic is that this is money we've all been paying in.
That's right.
It's not like winning the lotto. It's like a forced savings
plan. That's what
I
don't understand. If everybody's been paying it in, and it's money that you're getting out that you already paid in, how are we running out? Because the guys who were paying in 25 years ago, they were paying it in also.
It's not like it sits there in a big pot and it's waiting for you when you retire.
Right.
The money you're paying in now is going to pay people that are taking out Social Security right now.
I understand that, but they also paid money in.
Right, and that money's already gone. So
I guess I'd like it to be reserved for me had I paid it in. I'm loaning it to you for all of these 40, 50 years that I'm working.
And with the boomer bubble.
I'd like you to keep my name on it.
Philosophically, theoretically, that's what you're doing, but that, in practice, that's not what you're doing.
But can the government go in there and tap the Social Security funds or borrow against them? I don't think they can.
No, they're just taking the money that we're paying in and they're paying it out to people that are collecting Social Security right now.
Right. And maybe some of those people also didn't pay in. There are people who didn't work that are collecting Social Security.
Or, you know, or it's more going out now than what they paid in when they paid in.
And we've had inflation. We've had cost of living increases.
It's just never how the system has worked. You know, it's not going into a big fund and then waiting for you when you retire. That money's already gone.
Hoping it could be invested.
So you've got a boomer generation. You have a boomer generation that's getting either retiring or getting ready to retire. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot more of them than there are of us into it right now, and that's how you get to this point where we don't have any money.
I get how it works, but I am really disappointed in that.
Those ding dang boomers.
Because that's my money going out there.
It's your money.
Oh well, whatever. I'll
have
just
have
to keep working
until I'm dead.
Have a plan
B and a plan C and a plan D.
Got to get a second job. Got to work on that. It's also 5:30. Are you scooting downtown? Are you ready for hands-free driving? A lot of commuting stories.
Great to have options.
We'll be right back. Jordana here for John Schuster Group at Coldwell. Excuse me. Caldwell Banker Burnett.
Wait, give you Caldwell.
I was bad.
Are you okay?
She's all choked up. They're good. She's all choked up.
Hold on. Let me just.
They're kind of weepy. Are you all right?
Don't worry. We'll edit this out when the show goes live.
We're going to have to give you the Heimlich maneuver again.
He's right. I am choked up because John's marketing is so good that you wouldn't even believe. I'm choked up about it. Let me tell you the story about Carol and Michael in Plymouth. They were looking to downsize. They needed someone to sell their lakefront home. They chose John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Burnett, and his reputation and the money he spends on marketing. In less than 19 days, John and his team sold their home for 99% of list price. John sells homes, period. Doesn't matter where your home is, doesn't matter what condition it's in, because he's got the home sale guarantee. If he can't sell it, he will buy it from you at an agreed upon price, and he gets the job done. The agents that market the most sell the most home. John does the most marketing ever. He has hundreds of buyers lined up ready to buy. JohnSchusterGroup.com or give him a call right now. 952-333-SOLD. You know he sold my home. He sold Paul's home too. He's going to sell your home next. 952-333-SOLD.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The scooters are coming back. You going to ride them?
Only if there's a turbo scooter.
Oh, you know? Hold on. Would it sound something like this? Playing it.
Like a broken down lawnmower?
They literally sound nothing like.
No, I asked for sound, the sound a scooter makes, and they're electric powered, so it's like a turbine. It's like a.
Pretty sure that's a Vespa, but that's all I can find.
That's a lawnmower.
Well, it's a Toro.
Yeah. What is that?
It's a scooter. Are you going to ride the scooters? 651-989-9226. Did you ride them last year? Are you looking forward to getting them back? Or are you the get-off-my-lawn guy or gal who doesn't want them anywhere around downtown? You think they're annoying and they're not cute.
I just wonder, is it going to go the way of the Segway? Remember the Segway scooters?
I do remember.
They were supposed
Segway.
To be the next big thing.
We're going to revolutionize transportation.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
God.
And they didn't.
No.
They didn't.
You still see them. I mean,
you can take them on tours.
The cops use them.
The Downtown Improvement District folks are, you know, those folks that are always very helpful and very nice. And they really are. But most of them are zipping around on Segways.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a niche for Segways, but they didn't turn
out
the way.
That wasn't the intention when they invented them. Yeah, no.
That
they
everybody would be using them.
They're fun, those Segways, if you've ever been on one. They're really fun to drive around.
You didn't fall off?
No, we took them when I was on my CCO trip to Australia.
You went on a tour on the Segway?
Yes. It was so cool. It was up in the rainforest, and they were like four-wheeling Segways. We went through streams.
Wow.
And it was really cool. So that was really fun to be on the Segways doing that. And, you know, it was fun to ride the Segway and see the beauty of the rainforest in Australia.
Do you envision that these scooters, which to me seem like a novelty, and I get it, and I'm going to try them. I'm keeping an open mind.
Good.
But in terms of commuting day in and day out, even just taking your lunch, taking anything on a scooter, where on earth would you'd have to hold on to it.
Yeah, or have a messenger bag that's like a crossbody bag.
Or maybe a backpack, yes.
I don't know if they have a little basket on them.
They don't, but I'm wondering if they could.
Well, accessories. I'm going to have to
start. We're not bedazzling
the
scooters.
No,
of accessories.
No, don't go there.
They don't have to be bedazzled, but I could have a nice little basket secured with a, you know, some kind of a seatbelt on top to put your lunch in. We could have a whole line of backpacks or messenger crossbody bags that are light but have enough room for your laptop. Maybe a little cushion just in case you fall off the scooter.
And suddenly you have a motorcycle.
Exactly. That's
a great idea. Okay, here's the deal.
You're going to rent all that stuff too? Is that how that works?
I don't know.
Where do people go to get that stuff?
Buy them for the season. I don't know. I haven't thought it all out, obviously.
I worry now driving around downtown, and I don't want to be that get off my lawn guy.
You're kind of being that guy.
Already, it's like a driver's exam, final exam, like a driver's test.
Yeah.
I mean, avoiding things, people swerving, and pedestrians, and just keeping up with the bicyclists.
Yeah.
And again, the goal is trying not to hit anything or anyone. And now you got the scooters, another layer on top of that. Just makes me wonder if we're one day closer to the autonomous driving, the self-driving vehicles.
Can't wait.
That won't be perfect, but maybe they make fewer mistakes than human beings.
So they'll kill less people.
I think that's their motto.
I am curious how you're using the scooters, because you're right, Paul, when you say that they're not reliable, because it's not like you can secure one at this time every day. I'm going to get off my bus over by Target Field and I'm going to take a scooter down to Washington or take a scooter to 7th Street. You know, you can't necessarily rely on it being there. So how are people using them, and are they just fun? And is it just lucky? Hey, if I get out, I'll either take the Skyways or there'll be a little scooter there waiting for me. I'm not sure about the efficacy and the reliability of them.
Efficacy.
So
that's a $12 word.
651-989-9226 is the number. Taking big words and how you're using the scooters.
I'm impressed. And again, the weather. In a climate like San Diego, getting around downtown San Diego, okay, I get it. Even New York City, Miami. Here, half the year, between the rain, the sleet, the snow, the hail. Again, I think they're cool, and I think if you live downtown and you're trying to get around downtown, maybe not commuting, but just trying to get around, see the city.
Mm-hmm. Then,
Can you ride them in the Skyways? Because
I don't
would be
think you can.
All over that.
I don't think you can ride them.
What about
the
on the freeways? Can I use this when I'm going down 35W?
You can't ride them on the freeway.
You can,
you're not allowed to ride a scooter. Clearly, you're not understanding the whole scooter concept.
I have the freedom to ride my scooter on I-94.
I'll take a video of that, folks, and I'm going to post that on our Facebook page. Speaking of the highways and the freeways, and there is a difference between a highway and a freeway. I just can't think of it right now.
Freeways are bigger.
Is that
wider.
It?
Yeah, well, the freeways have no stoplights.
The hands-free law is going to go into effect August 1st. And that means, speaking of another line of accessories, you will need accessories if you have an older vehicle. When did it come about, probably just within the last 5 years, that the new vehicles have things like CarPlay where you can just plug in your phone?
Well, Bluetooth. I mean, I think Bluetooth has been around for the better part of at least 10 years.
Okay,
yeah.
So a lot of people, if you have a car that's earlier than 10 years old, you might have those things. Other than that, you need accessories because you must prepare yourself for hands-free. You're hands-free in your car because you're Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
I have something called, I have Bluetooth too, but I have CarPlay. I just plug in, I have a cord, I plug in my phone to the car, and my whole home screen comes up on the screen in the car. So it's really easy. And then I could just, you know, hey Siri, call this or
that. I use that in my truck too, in my Ram pickup. And it's wonderful because the navigation system now, I can use Google Maps. And that shows up on my screen in the truck. From my phone.
That's what mine does. That's the CarPlay. Is it the CarPlay?
Yeah, CarPlay.
Okay,
yeah,
I love the CarPlay. And you don't have to get a GPS system in the car. It's actually less expensive. So I really like that option. Dan Cook, his truck is from, was it from when wheels were invented, Dan?
Eisenhower administration.
I work in radio. I don't make any money.
It's a Model T?
It's a 2003. Small little Ford Ranger pickup truck. So.
And you're using your FM radio, right?
Yeah, there's an adapter that I have that plugs into the cigarette lighter and then broadcasts at an FM frequency and Bluetooth to the phone.
Right.
So then I can do all my navigation or music or whatever, or make a phone call or whatever it is I want to do. Right. And you can do all that using voice commands. So
you're set. And Dan says it costs you how much to get?
I think the whole rig, because I have that, and then a mount that fits into one of the vents, probably all together was $35-$40, something in there.
Yeah. So doable, affordable.
Very much so.
And you have to get ready. If you have a setup, we want to hear about it. 651-989-9226. There's lots of options out there.
The easiest thing, maybe, just a wireless earpiece, right? Just use you obviously can't use headphones. You can only have one ear engaged. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to hear sirens and what have you.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, the whole wireless may be the way to go, or even a wired connection, and just use one of the earbuds. Don't use both. If you get pulled over and you've got both earbuds
in trouble,
you can be in trouble. If you just use one of the earbuds, pick an ear, that may be the most efficient way to use your phone.
It's good, though. This is a good thing. I know change is hard for everybody. We didn't like putting on seatbelts way back when. But this is a good thing. It will keep us safer on the roads. And all the new drivers now won't know what it's like to fidget with their phone and, you know, be dialing with their fingers. They have to have an option.
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it's going to save some lives. So, anyway, Jor, it is 5:47. That means it is a Wicks and Jewelers time. As your life changes, so should the story your diamonds tell. Restyle or upgrade your diamond at the Diamond Event coming up at Wicks and Jewelers.
You're looking swole.
Swole? I'm looking what?
Swole.
Is that English?
It's one of the 640 new additions to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Oh.
Swole means buff. Means you go to the gym a lot and you're, I don't know, give me another word for buff. I need the synonyms now. You're in shape.
You're cut.
You're cut. You're ripped. You're swole. Mm. S-W-O-L-E. I'm never going to use that word except here on the radio with you to define it.
Swole.
You're swole. So, yeah, 640 new words. There's some really good ones.
Let's see. Snowflake, somebody who is overly sensitive. We've heard that
before. I know, but that's not a new word. That's just a different meaning for the new word. And that, you know, words like unplug are like that because you mean literally pull a plug from the wall. But now it's, of course, to disconnect from social media. So they just have different meanings.
Omnicide, which means the destruction of all life, a Cold War term used to talk about nuclear annihilation.
Now it means climate change.
Yeah. Garbage time.
Yeah, Dan says that this is a term they use in sports a lot.
Yeah.
That's been around a while already.
So Twins are up 9-1,
and
you know, Houston to me tacks on some runs late in what's called garbage time. The game is essentially over.
Okay.
But the score looks closer than it actually was because of the quote unquote garbage time scoring. And that's across sports. It's not just a baseball.
Okay. There you go. Garbage time. So you got it there.
And then there's EGOT, which I kind of like.
Yeah, that's an acronym. It means Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony, and it refers to somebody who has won all of them, like Whoopi Goldberg or Mel Brooks or Audrey Hepburn, which
that's
I thought
cool.
was kind of fun. Then, of course, there's the other fun ones, gender nonconforming, pretty self-explanatory. Hmm. You're not male or female. You're something else. You're cisgender, you're trans, or you're gender nonconforming. I'm going to stop talking about that one now. The gig economy. We've used this one. We've been talking about the gig economy
for
years.
We are in the gig economy.
But now it's officially in the dictionary. On brand, screen time, you know all of them. I got to tell you, radio time coming up at 6:30 is the pregame for the Twins.
Right.
They're going to crush Houston again tonight. They're on fire.
Don't say that.
On fuego.
You just jinxed it.
Oh, is that
it's going to be a close game. We hope the Twins prevail.
I probably just did. Also, Steve Thompson is up because H. Lake Henry was on earlier today. So Steve Thompson is up after the game at final pitch. So
listen to
him for all the game wrap up.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.